हरि ओ
Jiva Goswami means to show that while dreams are ultimately created by Lord, they are created by Him according to the living entity's desires. We ought not conclude that since a living entity's dreams are false, the material world is false. Neither our internal dreams nor the external material world are as real as the spiritual world, since it is eternal and they are temporary. But as creations of the Lord, they are real enough to overwhelm the tiny wayward Jivatma. Precisely because of their potency to captivate uncountable eternal spirit souls. Chapter 1 concludes, quote, one must concentrate the mind on Him, the only all-blissful absolute truth. Otherwise, one will be misled and will cause his own degradation. Srila Sridhar Swami comments in 2.139 as follows. This verse means that one should concentrate his mind on the Lord, Tam Eva Satyam Bhajeta, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations. Sha ekta sarvadhi vrityanu bhuta sarva. One should not be attached to anyone or anything else. Na anyatra sajjate. Because from that attachment, yata, one falls, atmapata, into the material world of repeated birth and death. The Lord alone experiences everything, anubhuta sarva, with his senses. The example is given here of what is seen, ikshita, by sleeping persons, swapnagyanam, jananam. Sometimes in a dream, an ordinary living entity creates many different bodies and is able to see them with all his senses. In the same way, the Supreme Lord sees everything with his senses. Because he is the master of the potencies of transcendental knowledge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never bound or limited in his knowledge. Because the Lord is thus aware of everything, He is called Satyam, the Supreme Truth. Because He is the creator of everything, He should be worshipped, Bhajeta. That is the meaning. The yogi, perfect in meditation on the Lord's universal form, who has mastered the steady fixation of every one of his knowledge-acquiring senses upon the universal form, sees everything in the universal form. In this way, he worships Bhajeta, Lord Narayan, who is the Supreme Truth, Satyam, an ocean of bliss, Anandam Nidhim, the universal form and the Supersoul present in everyone's heart. One should become attached, Sajet, to any benefits, Anyatra, obtained by meditating on the universal form. For that attachment, Yata, will make one fall, Atmapata, into the cycle of repeated birth and death.
Okay.
So we're getting into these subtle aspects that, you know, as we were discussing yesterday, that one wonders whether these are important in devotional life. And as we discussed, is that they're as important in devotional life as one is not actually thinking of Krishna in relationship with Krishna as a person, that you're doing devotional service. Because the point is if we're not thinking of Krishna, as Jiva Goswami points out, we are thinking of Maya. There's not an alternative. You know, it's not like we have Krishna, Maya, and then there's HBO or something, right? You know, there's Krishna and there's Maya, right? There's not a third alternative. So the aspect is that what we're seeing is seen by the Lord. The Lord arranges. The dreamlike state comes because that's what the jiva wants. The Lord creates it for the jiva. Right? So the dreams are unique because the particular combination of samskaras is unique. Right? So it's our samskaras that we're dreaming about. Right? What we've seen, the impressions we have, those are combined together according to one's desire. And then you come up with all these strange dreams. So we think dreams are strange, that's because our desires are strange. Like that. Very simple. Right? You know, so the dreams are real. The material world is real, but as Acharya points out, not as real as the spiritual world, because the spiritual world is eternal. So what's there, that is satya. Right, because it's connected with the Lord. Here it's connected with the Lord, but the manifestations are always changing. So that's where the reality is dropped. And that it's there, it exists, but the reality of it being something eternal that the soul can actually have a relationship with, that's what's not real.
Yes. Is there more false ego in a dream than compared to material consciousness, waking material consciousness?
Is there more false ego in a dream? Not necessarily. Point is the dream is just made out of what you perceive, what you find is important. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just going down, all these different things put together. So the Lord makes these things. Because we'll say, well, why would he make? Because the point is there's nothing here that we make. We make it like, oh, we're making all this, so why would the Lord make that? No, everything here is created by him. Let the birds sit there in the tree and they chirp in the morning. That's Krishna's arrangement. Right? It's not our arrangement. You know, it's not we get out there in the morning. You know, everything's quiet like that. You know, we get out our baton, then we, you know, and then all the birds are there, and then we, you know, start the thing, and then the birds all start chirping, and then the other birds, and then, you know, think these birds. No, it's not doing that. It's not happening like that. Right? You know, we're sitting there asleep, the birds start chirping, and we're trying to think what we can do to get them to be quiet, right? So it's not done by us.
Yes.
So that's the whole thing, is that this is all being created by him. Now, this is not the aspect of him that is that important. What's important about this understanding is that it's connected to him. So the point is, universal is connected to him. Our illusion of the material world, our perception that's not connected to him, that's what's useless. That's what's unreal. Right? The material world's real, but we don't see it connected to him. That's what's unreal. So this is a way to get the yogi to connect everything to the Lord. That's the idea. Right? Like that. The Lord is seeing everything, therefore we see. Now we're getting back into that aspect again. The point is the Lord's not seeing, we can't see. This is the point Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would bring out very much. Because we're always thinking, I'm seeing, I'm the control. But he's the one that's seeing. We're only able to, by his grace, you know, through our karma, you know, in other words, the reward for our previous activities, we're able to see to some degree what he sees. He can see all the things of the world. We just see something that's connected with our body. Right? Like that. So it is his potency of vision that we are sharing in. Right? It's not that this is ours and that's his. It's all his. This is the part that he allows us. So when we see something, we see the tree, that's because the Lord sees the tree. And the fun part, he's the tree also, what's seeing. So this idea is, I am seeing, but actually we're being seen. Because what's being seen? One is, you know, you can take technically on who's seeing who here. But how you're seeing is what Krishna is seeing. He's seeing what you're seeing, but more important, he's seeing how you're seeing what you're seeing. Yes.
In what form Krishna sees what we see? Is it a form of Paramatma?
Yes, but also you have the aspect of universal form. Because universal form, whatever there is to see, he wants to see. So then everything that can be seen, we can't see anything out of sight of what he's seeing.
Right.
So this idea that I'm independent, I can see everything that I want, I can, no, we're only seeing through God's eyes. But we're only seeing what we want to through what we see through God's eyes. You know what I'm saying? Because this is just, there's a tree there, that's all. That's but we make the whole thing is this tree's valuable, I get some benefit from it, oh, that's beautiful, oh, it's this, that. But that's still, it's all Krishna's beauty, it's Krishna's usefulness, it's Krishna's practice. We see the tree and we think, okay, chop it down, make firewood, sell it. But that's economics, Krishna's still economics. We see, oh, it's beautiful and all that. Then it's still his beauty. Oh, it's so natural and everything. That's still, he's the most natural person, right? You know, you don't get any more organic than him, you know, like that. Ultimate free range, right? The whole cosmos, right? You know, it's like, you know, like that. Recyclable, it doesn't go away. It's like the energy just keeps transforming, you know? So it's just, you know, he's like the ultimate, you know, like political correctness, right? Yeah. So this element then, he's seeing that what he's seeing is how we're viewing his creation, how we're using his power of seeing. Right? Are we using it to serve him, to remember him? Then one gets benefit. If one's not, one's degrading one's. Does that make sense? So there's a lot more going on. Now, for rasa, right, with the Lord, or for rasa in the material world, you kind of have to put this understanding on the side. Does that make sense? Like that. It even for Vaikuntha, where it still has to be put aside to some point for that rasa, because this is like real mechanical aspects of tattva. Right? So rasa, for it to be there, this has to be on the side. Now, so we want to ask, well, then why do we use this? Because the point is are we absorbed in spiritual rasa? If we're not, what's the alternative? Material rasa. So by doing this, it breaks up material rasa. You can't, it doesn't function. Because if you look at the world in this way, that where's the rasa? Where is it that I'm the controller and enjoyer? No, because Krishna's everything. What I'm seeing is actually, he's seeing that and I'm only tapping in to that. My consciousness, I am conscious of already his, what he's conscious of. So I have the independence to apply my consciousness through the senses, right? But it's already, that power of seeing is already there in him. I'm only appreciating that aspect according to my karma. Right? So what's left for us to really get involved in, right? He's the family, he's the money, he's the house, he's the shelter. He's that power of, I can buy, I have money, I can go out and get things done. Right? The man thinks I'm powerful, I pay money, I do lobbying, I support things, I get things done the way I want. But it's not, it's the power of money that's doing it. The guy's not doing anything. He's just moving Krishna's power around. Because Krishna allows him to move it around due to karma. You know what I'm saying? So he's not actually doing anything. So then the whole material creation falls apart. That's the point of the universal form. Then one is situated transcendentally. But that's not a goal. Right? It's a goal, meaning getting out, just like liberation, getting out of the material world is a goal. And that is taking you a step closer to transcendence. But it's not the last word in transcendence, right? That's why they use these terms. The last word in transcendence is Bhagavan. So that's what we have to get to, that relationship with him, because we need relationship, therefore Ananda. And he is Ananda Mayo Vyasat. He is the form of Ananda. Right? So what he's running the material world with, for all of us to do, all the unlimited living entities to be able to be here, have forms, have the power of doing whatever they do, to perceive things the way they do, it takes just a fraction of his potency. That's all. It's because it doesn't take much to run. It's not a big deal.
The big deal is the interaction. And it's just like this. The guy's running this huge empire, you know, whether it's political, economic, educational, whatever it is, he's running that whole thing quite easily. And people are amazed. But when he goes home, then he has trouble working out exactly how he's supposed to deal with his wife and family. So, which is the more difficult thing? People make it out that management's on the top. It's not on the top at all. Relationships, that's on the top. That's a tough one. The other things are easy. That's the point. To manage the material world, we're not talking about rasa here. It takes a fraction of the portion. But to interact with his internal potency, that uses all of his potency. Yes.
Can we say that management becomes difficult because we don't know relationships?
Yes, because if you put what's secondary as primary, it's always going to be a problem. You know what I'm saying? You have a pile of chips, and then you pour half a liter of tomato ketchup on it. There's a problem. Right? Of course, unless you're 7 years old. But you know, other than that, there's a problem. You know what I'm saying? If you do it, add the salt. How much salt do you put? Yeah, so is the preparation important or the salt? The salt brings out the taste. But if you take the salt as primary, there's a problem. You know? A little pile of salt, then you take a few steamed broccolis and sprinkle them on the top. Just not too much, you know. Hey, I'm on a low broccoli diet here, you know, like that. You know. Just pure sodium. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is the proportions and how we perceive things, this is what's perverted. We're seeing it without relationship to the Lord, and we're thinking that what we're getting here is real relationships, so we're not getting. That's the difficulty. You see a connection to the Lord, now you have relationships. But they're real because they're connected to the Lord, not that they stand on their own. That's why it says you can't focus on the universal form. You can't try to get benefit from it. If I see, okay, the family is connected to the Lord, the universal form is that the husband, the wife, the child, the parent, potencies are there at work. But if I want to try to enjoy that, now I get a problem again. Yes. No, it's just what's happening there. You interact, you do your duties, there will be an experience. You want to try to enjoy that, that's when the problem comes. That's the difficulty. So we had this idea that I'm going to take part in both these. I'm going to be the one enjoying it, and I'm going to be the one as the center of attention.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The man is taking the dynamic role. That means the woman's the center of attention. The man thinks I'm controlling it. It's going the way I want. But the actual enjoyment is on the part of the woman, right? Because she's the center of attention. But she's not in control. See, this is the thing. We have this idea, I'm going to do both. It's impossible. How do you do both? I'm going to drive the speedboat, and I'm going to be in the back skiing. How does that work? You know, it's going to be a little weird. You know, maybe we could put a little thing and have little, things on the thing. It's going to be something weird because you can't see what's in front, right? Yeah. You know, it's not going to work out, but we're going to try, you know. Give it the old college try here, you know. Going to try to do our best, you know.
The Google glasses with a little, so we can see in the camera on the boat. So we can
Could try that. Could try that, definitely. Yeah, see? Work it out. But the point is you can't have both. That's the illusion. It's one or the other. And the fun part is, the servant gets more than the one being served. You know, but we have this idea that, no, Krishna's enjoying more. So that's the perversion. Actually, it's not. Otherwise, why would Krishna come as Lord Chaitanya? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's his natural position. That's who he is. That's who we are. So this is how the illusion comes up. So all these kind of things, as we'll go through here, and we'll see more and more detail of this, that is just to break the illusion that the material world has something to offer us. It's not a permanent vision. It's only a temporary vision. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
like that. Yes.
And can we say that the first few cantos is that never forget Krishna, and then the part of always remember Krishna comes then later?
You could say a predominance would be, yes, but they're also showing how to remember Krishna all the way through, because even in this, the universal form, as the Acharyas pointed out, that you're remembering the universal form only is a step to remember Bhagavan. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, that element that we're forgetting Krishna, then we try to not forget Krishna by remembering Krishna.
Yeah.
Like that. So immediately we move to the other. So the yogi and the impersonalists like this, it's going to take them a while to make that step. They're first going to get translated, situated, get adjusted with the Lord as form, activities, therefore this paramatma. Then they'll move forward to, and then as devotion develops by association, then they'll move forward into bhakti. Right? So it's a very difficult, you have to be extremely qualified to do it by that. But at the same time, it's not the most efficient method. You know, that's the fun part. You need real qualification to do a less efficient method.
Yes.
Like that. But for the devotees, then these are just used momentarily to get over that particular attachment that was has, the particular distraction. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Maharaj mentioned Anandamoya is Krishna.
Yes.
The other levels, Anandamoya.
They're also Krishna.
Brahman and Paramatma manifestations.
Basically, you can see that's there. But ultimately, all those activities come back to Krishna. In other words, that you're engaging the senses. That's how what one does in devotional service. But you do that for the pleasure of the other person. You do that according to what your nature is. Right? And you do that on the transcendental platform. There's no material gain from it. So those are all aspects of devotional service, but when they're removed from devotional service, right, the situation is removed, the duties are removed, that element of being, it's for others, but it's still for yourself, and then ultimately it's for yourself because it's a reflection. So we find that on the spiritual world, the lowest is the element of liberation, just you're situated in the spiritual world. That's the first thing we have to get over. Right, then start to see, you know, the other's mood. You know, what is the mood of the residents of Braja? Right, that's the first stage. To be liberated, that's there. That's Brahma-Bhuta. Okay, now what are you going to do with it? Now you're going to adjust with what is the mood, like that. Then you're going to be able to personally deal with others. And then the whole thing is how to nicely make arrangements for the senses of the Lord. In a sense, so it's the highest, there's the lowest over here. It's all from devotional service. There's nothing that's not from devotional service. We make it out like devotional service is one thing. It's like the spiritual option. You know, but these other options are quite viable. But there isn't something else. That's the illusion. That's why it starts off with this universal form. Because that's the first illusion, is that there's something separate than the Lord. You know, the Western culture is separate from the Lord. It functions on its own. It has a natural course, a natural everything. All it is it's just like darkness is just the lack of light. So if you have the lack of the Vedic culture, you end up with Western culture. That's all it is. You know what I'm saying? You go around, it's like standard. In Asia, you know, if you go to the toilet, you use water. You know, it was interesting when I was in Finland. In the airports, there's always, at the end of the line, there's one stall that has water. Because it's understood by the higher class that using water is actually better. But it's not a must, but it's actually known to be better. I'm not sure if when you cross the border of the next country, if they still have, that seems to be kind of the end of where this understanding is. But otherwise, down there, that whole side like that, you go to these, they were showing me pictures of the school they were planning to buy in Kazakhstan. And all the toilets were Indian toilets. And it's an old school. So it's just this whole idea is that they're closer. So all it is as you go farther west, all it is that they lose out on this. You know, so there's elements that somehow or another they kind of run out when you hit the Atlantic, like that, and then they go kind of east until they hit this side of the Pacific, and somehow or another in between, then they don't know a whole lot about the Vedic culture, right? Though the south, the below the border had below the Rio Grande had the influence of Maya Dhanava, Kumbhakarna, these others. So they have some, but it's more this kind of demoniac side. But it's Suric take on the Varnashram system. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Material consciousness is lack of consciousness.
Material consciousness is lack of consciousness, yeah. It means you're conscious because the living entity is conscious, you have to be conscious. But it's illusory consciousness because what you're conscious of, what you think it is not what it is.
Is that why we say under the modes?
Yes, under the modes. Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is one's trying to appreciate that point. And if that's appreciated, then the whole process moves forward very dynamically. Because otherwise, we're always dealing with these anartas, right? That's what anarta nivritti means. Dealing with your anartas to actually get comfortable with devotional service is the process. What the acharyas recommend is the process. Then one becomes stable in the process. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's... Srila Prabhupada summarizes chapter 1 as follows. Each and every item of the material manifestation entails a part of the body of the gigantic form. Right? Each and every item means there's nothing that's not, right? And thus, the flickering mind can be fixed on the Lord only and nothing else. The process of concentrating on the different bodily parts of the Lord will gradually diminish the demoniac challenge of godlessness and bring about gradual development of devotional service to the Lord. That's the point of it. Right?
Yes.
Everything being a part and parcel of the complete whole, the neophyte student will gradually realize the hymns of the Ishopanishad, which state that the Supreme Lord is everywhere, and thus he will learn the art of not committing any offense to the body of the Lord. This sense of God-mindedness will diminish one's pride in challenging the existence of God. Because if we challenge the Vedic version, we're challenging God's existence, because he gave the Vedas. Right? He taught them to Brahma. Brahma gave them down to Parampara. Right? Now one can say, no, but what about Karmakanda? What about, God? Yes, that is a misapplication of the Vedas. You're supposed to use them for pure devotional service. Right? That's the proper. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what we're doing, is getting rid of, because godless means we don't see God in it. And we can say, well, I'm a devotee. Yes. We see Krishna and the deity in his holy name, in prasad, unless we're, getting too freaked out about, what it is. But for most other things in our house, do we see them actually in connection with Krishna? Walk around your house, look around, look at everything in your house. Go zen on us here. Go in and just stop in a place in the house. What do you see? Just turn slightly. So what do you see? Look up, look down. Move a few more steps, right? That's how they make Japanese gardens, so you have to do that. You can't just walk too quickly. And then just look, why is there? You want to have fun, means, your whole life might fall apart in front of you. That's the difficulty. But the point is that, what's the connection? So that's the godlessness. But compared to the direct activities of devotional service, it's a very minor thing. But still, minor is in the way. It's minor, but you get rid of it, then we move to nishta. Right? And okay, nishta, we're nice, we're stable, we're steady, but what about the taste? Why aren't we getting a taste? Because we still have taste what's going on here. We get a taste what's there, then it moves forward. Then we get attachment. Then ecstasy. Then ecstasy has to move forward to prema. So this idea of giving up our attachments here is way down on the bottom of the pile. I get a little steady in devotional service, I'm on the top of the pile. No, Now you're on the top. You're on the bottom of the top. Yes, top of the pile, but the bottom of the top, right? The Nishta is the beginning of advanced devotional service, the beginning of pure devotion. So yes, you're counted within the pure devotees. But the solid, you know, dynamic, leading pure devotee is called on the platform of prema. So there's a few more steps to go.
We have time.
Yes?
We have time.
We do, but at the same time as we should.
We don't know how much.
Yes. We have time, but we don't know how much. Like Katvanga Maharaj, he had time. But only a moment. You know, so that's what the whole idea is. Everything being a part and parcel. That means everything. But we'll choose something so are that I've heard leading personalities explaining how certain shastras can't, that Prabhupada mentions, and mentions what their proper use in Krishna consciousness, he says they can't be actually Vedic shastras. Because only these things in the mode of goodness that we accept from our perspective of conditioning, that can be Vedic. Right? Because we respect that. And all these other aspects we don't respect. Right? It doesn't fit into our conditioned nature. So they can't be Vedic. So these are the things. No, but everything. That's why Krishna, that's his first statement. You want to get into spiritual life. First statement is everything is him. There's nothing that's not. The point is how do you use it? That's the whole point. How do you use it? Right? So that's the thing. That's where duties come in. Right? So if we appreciate the transcendental platform, then we can understand how to apply our duties. Then doing these duties in connection with others for others' pleasure, that has some meaning. Right? Because then it's sacrifice rather than an ism. Right? And then we can engage the Lord's, the senses in the service of the Lord and the Vaishnavas, and it's not sense gratification. You understand? So unless you approach Dharma Artha Kama Moksha from moksha into Dharma, then the Artha and Kama, there's not a snowball's chance in hell you'll be able to connect it to Krishna.
Yes.
It's just not going to happen. Someone's telling me yesterday because of this weather. All this creating a kind of, this vortex is pulling cold down instead of gently blowing it up. And so then, because it's generally known as, and Michigan is kind of like called hellish, like that. And so then it got so cold, then the headlines were hell freezes over. That was the actual American headlines. Yeah. So that's the symptom of the jiva, that the soul actually has a sense of humor. Right? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing of the karmas. You can still see symptoms of the soul like that. How it's applied, that's another thing. But
Is sense of humor a realization that you're dealing with illusion?
It's just you're seeing the uniqueness, the specialness of things. So that means you have to be intelligent. Like one time, the devotees were complaining that in the morning, then Achyutananda would be there, and he'd be cracking jokes the whole morning. No one can chant the japa, no one can do anything like that. So someone went to complain to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, we're not able to do our sadhana and this and that because Achyutananda is always cracking jokes. I said, oh, that means he's very intelligent. He says you have to be very intelligent to be humorous. Because you have to be able to look at something that everybody else looks at and see it from a perspective that they don't. You know, and then present it like that. And then the difference between how you're seeing it and what's the reality, that's what creates the humor. Right? It's always in the difference. Right? How do we say that? People are too false. Okay, yes. So that's the whole point. It's in the difference there, right? No?
Yes.
Yes. Have to quote things properly, right? You know, like that, yeah.
The authorities of you.
Yes. So the neophyte student will gradually realize the hymns of Ishupanishad, which state that the Supreme Lord is everywhere. And thus he will learn the art of not committing anything. Because the neophyte sees, this is my world. Right? Yes. And then there's this concept, there's God and this other very far away, and okay, at times I tried. No, this is God's world. Yes. That's what the point is. Then it's adjusting with that that makes the difference. Yes. Right? Then one will not commit any offense to the body of the Lord, because the body of the Lord means everything is the body of the Lord. So what you're dealing with, you're dealing with the Lord, you won't commit offense. Mm-hmm. Right?
Like that.
This sense of God-mindedness will diminish one's pride in challenging the existence of God. Thus one can learn to show respect to everything. Therefore, Amanina. Right? How does that come? Because you see the Lord in everything. Everything is connected to the Lord. Everybody's connected to the Lord. And reducing the pride, therefore manadena. Right? The conclusion. Oh. For all things are part and parcels of the Supreme Body. The conclusion is that one should unhesitatingly become a worshipper of Lord Krishna, or, for that matter, his plenary expansion, Narayana, and none else. An expansion. So what's a pension?
Something to do with providing, like pantheism is everywhere.
But I'm saying the expansion, not meaning that it was, but now it's not? Or?
It's, because now it's no longer in one place.
Oh, okay. Okay. Or does it have another meaning of having meaning everywhere, like an exchequer or something? He checks everything everywhere.
It's a matter of being copied and pasted from a place where X was at the end of the line.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay. It's funny. That's the fun part about English. You get all these funny, because in Sanskrit they're all one word anyway, so you don't have any problem. You can move them around, you can do anything with it. It works perfectly. This is so weird. Yeah. So therefore, there's not a problem because everything's connected to the Lord. Right? So this idea, Varnasho, say, oh, it doesn't apply. That means the Lord's body is not, everything's not the Lord anymore. Because the point is the ashrams and the varnas are the four aspects of the Lord's body. The whole creation, then, is all the other aspects of the body. Right? So that doesn't apply. God's not eternal. You know? So these are the un-Krishna conscious elements that we're trying to remove by this understanding. Right? If it goes away just automatically, that one hears about, one has faith in, and one acts upon, there's no problem. But in those areas that we don't, that's what this is for. This material creation is also exactly a dreamlike creation of the Lord. But he, being the transcendental supersoul, is neither entangled nor affected by the reactions of such a dreamlike creation. He is always in the transcendental position, but essentially he is everything, and nothing is apart from him. Right, so this is the fun part, is he is everything, but he's transcendental to that.
Yes.
You know, we get involved in something, we become part of that. Mm-hmm. But that's the difference. He points out in Gita, I can deal with anything, I don't become attached to it, because it's already him anyway. We become involved in it, we become attached to it. It's not us. That's why we have to be careful of what we involve ourselves with. We involve ourselves with the internal potency, it works. We don't, then we... Mm-hmm. Yes.
What happens to those devotees when Krishna gives them something they don't know what to do with it?
It's just a matter of if they're trying to use it nicely, then it'll move forward. Because devotional service is... I mean, technically, that's all there is Krishna has to give us something that we don't know what to do with. Because we have not been involved in devotional service. Technically speaking, we've never been involved in devotional service. Now we're involved in devotion. We've done bhakti sukriti. We may have been involved to some degree. But that means you can say, as you know, in recent history, this is where we've become involved. Because from our position in the spiritual world to coming into the material world to now taking up the devotional process, this is when it's begun. So therefore, everything is new. Natural, but new. You know, just like the child being born, the world is new, natural, but new. You know, the interaction with the people, the family, it's new. Right? You know, but it's natural. So the thing is, devotional service is the natural position. But everything's new, so it's a matter of you give and then you try to work, just like you give the kid the bicycle. It's new, you know, and they don't necessarily use it so great, you know. But the point is they learn. So you give according to what they can handle. So as they mature, you give more. They don't, you give less. Or if you give something, they don't use it right, then you don't give more of that. So it's not a problem that one's getting something, one doesn't necessarily know what to do with it, because the point is doing things connected to Krishna is what we're supposed to do, and that's what we're learning. Is that
Does that mean that technically there is no fall down?
Technically there's no fall down. It means you can say you've fallen down into the material world.
Mm.
So that means situationally it's a fall down. That's fair.
But I'm thinking if we're progressing towards spiritual wisdom.
No. You have to say, because you come in as more pious, as Brahma, and then so we're down here. This is a little bit lesser of a
lesser, yes.
Ideal position.
Exactly.
Right? In other words, if the first words you hear are in Sanskrit,
yes,
and everybody in the house is extremely clean,
mm-hmm,
then you know the birth isn't so bad.
Yes.
Right? You know, as far as piety goes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But if they're speaking some language that has a lot of guttural sounds to it, then it's not doing so well.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. But since devotional service, it gives eternal benefit.
It does. So that's elevating, but the point is the position of being situated in the spiritual world, all you need to do is have a proper attitude so you get the right association. You're not going to get better than that. You're already in spiritual form, spiritual situation. All you have to do is now have a spiritual vision to take up spiritual activities. So now to come down to the material world where basically that's not so close. Brahma has that association with the Lord, but he's in a material body, in a material situation. He's dealing with the elements that are close to transcendence. The Lord in the form of the universal form. Right? So it's close. You know, that's why it's close, but it's not exactly there. Then the Prajapatis are quite close, its great sages are quite close, and then it's kind of downhill from there. Right? Worm and stool, not so close.
Very far away.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is that these things, so it is a fall down. We're here in the material world. It's Krishna is not obvious. Krishna is obvious in the spiritual world. We can avoid noticing, but he's obvious, right? You know, Balaram is there dancing with his internal potency. It's pretty obvious, okay, but to Shankachuta, it wasn't so obvious because he chose to not perceive things that way. Right? So therefore, you do have that element. So don't look at it that it's not a fallen position, because otherwise then I'm fine. You know, then moving forward, that's, you know, another option. You're in the natural position. You're not having the natural attitude and activities of that position. One's fallen from that position. Now, not only do we not have the right attitude and activities, but we don't have the right situation either. So it is a fallen position. Right? Like that. Because, yeah. You know, it's like out of the frying pan into the fire. Right? You know, so that. So you can take it as... That's. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
It's like saying, I'm okay, you're okay.
Yes, like that. Yeah, because then everybody just feels good about their not so okayness. Like that. You know, you standardize not so okay, then everybody's not so okay, so that's okay. You know? So But that's, yeah, that's what we do here. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Okay. He is always in this transcendental position, but essentially he is everything and nothing is apart from him. So essentially, right? As part of him, one should therefore concentrate on him only, without deviation. Otherwise, one is sure to become overwhelmed by the potencies of the material creation, one after another. So it's still him, but you're not concentrating on him, so you get overwhelmed by his potencies. Right? Because he and his potencies, they go together very well. And these potencies are big. We're the smallest of the potencies. Right? And so, therefore, if we don't see these potencies connected to him, we will be overwhelmed. That's just how it works. Yes.
Sometimes it is said that it's not necessarily to study Shastra.
It's not necessarily to study Shastra. Yeah, it's the philosophy of the Sahajayana Buddhists. In other words, Prabhupada's saying one should study, one should do these things. The point is that even if you're not studying, you're advancing. The person just comes into the temple, sees the deities, hears the kirtan, takes prasad. They haven't studied anything, but they're still advancing. But the recommendation is one should study the shastra. So to make up something, to say that you don't have to, you just have to do service, then that is not necessarily the position. Then next is to check who's saying this. Right? If it's the temple authorities, that's because they want to get you to do more practical service. Like that. But then the problem is how long will that last if you don't know why you're doing it? You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's there. If it's just some devotee is there and would rather do something else, you know, just sitting around, doesn't want to study, then that's not good either. You know, so both of them are a problem. But studying, that's what Prabhupada was saying, it's probably one of the least understood elements of our society. Prabhupada thought by 1975, you'd already have devotees who are so well studied, they'd be up to the Bhaktivedanta level. Like that. But I think it's in 76 or 77 is when we had our first Bhakti Shastri exam. Right? Like that, yes. Yes.
Lord Chaitanya told Prakasananda Saraswati, the greatest blasphemy to the Supreme Lord is to deny or cover the glories of his purpose.
Yes.
So the cosmic manifestation is one of those purposes.
Yes. Yes. But it's just, in other words, I'm seeing it as my potency, my facility. My endeavor, my results. This is all ignoring the Lord because he's actually doing everything. You know, it's like the kid sitting in the pram, he's being pushed around, and then, you know, he's thinking, yes, I'm doing all this. You know? So that's the problem. So now, if it's just you're overwhelmed by the material energy, that's understandable. It's offensive, but it's not taken seriously. But when one claims that now I am the Supreme and all this is mine, it's all illusion, it doesn't exist, that's when it becomes offensive. So when you get into the Mayavada philosophy, that's where it becomes offensive. So Prakashana and Saraswati being Mayavadis, then that would be Lakshmi's point. That's why we call the general materialist innocent. Because they don't know. They're just doing it by habit, you know, just by practice. Everybody else is doing it, they're doing it. And so they don't really know. But if you explain to them, then at least in principle, they'll catch the concept, though it may take them a while to be able to seriously apply it. But the Mayavadis just deny God's existence, God's... that's not the problem. God doesn't have a problem with that. But denying his potencies, now that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, say what you want about the guy, but don't make comments about his mama. You know, as soon as you do that, then you now you got a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will not make comments about your mother because cows are sacred where they come from.
Okay. Okay. I was going to say it's better than the your mama jokes.
Yeah.
Yes. As a part of him, one should therefore concentrate on him only without deviation. Otherwise, one is sure to be overcome by the potencies of the material creation, one after another. Right, so one after another, all the modes of nature and everything. The human life, however, is an opportunity to get out of this repetition of creation and annihilation. It is a means whereby one may escape the Lord's external potency and enter into his internal potency. Vriti. A philosophical elaboration on the shloka Anusharana. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 4:29-69. No living entity is free from the cycle of birth and death unless he takes to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in this verse, it is clearly stated, Satvaika Nishte, that when one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in one stroke, he is free of past and future mental desires. Then, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, everything becomes simultaneously manifest within the mind. Simultaneous manifestation. This is the difficulty, is how to, this Achintabhadavita, how to catch all these things. But by the Lord's grace, we can catch them. We see it's important, we see it's the natural perspective, then by rendering that service, by wanting to please the Lord, then we can see this way. Right? Because otherwise sometimes it's, you know, how do these go together? They're contradictory. No, but that's the whole point. Is by the Lord's grace one can see that way. Right. Then, in this regard, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur cites the example of Mother Jashoda seeing the whole cause of manifestation within the mouth of Lord Krishna. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Mother Jashoda saw all the universes and planets within the mouth of Krishna. Similarly, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, a Krishna conscious person can see all his dormant desires at one time and finish all his future transmigrations. You can see all these desires, just what, and it's just they're not important. Right? So it's by Krishna's grace, they're not important. Because we want them to be important, we cultivate them, that's why they remain. We want not to see like that to please Krishna. Then they'll go away. If we want to see like that not to please Krishna, then you better be really pious and, you know, have the determination to stick it out for a few hundred lifetimes. Then maybe you can get there. Yes.
At which point we have, there is our endeavor to get rid of all those desires, and at which point it's Krishna's mercy and get rid of them and see them in front of us.
At all points.
So it comes together?
Yes, it's always simultaneous. That's the point. It simultaneously manifests.
And relying on mercy.
What else would you rely on?
We have to endeavor.
Yes, but in that endeavor, are we independent? So that the point is, it comes back to the relationship. Right? In other words, we're expressing relationship through making endeavor. Right? So, but we're dependent upon the Lord. But that's still, that dependency is in connection to that relationship with the Lord.
Universal form?
No, to please Krishna as a person.
Because the part that we endeavor in, it means we have difficulties, it means that's the mixed part. So the mixed part we connect to the universal form.
Yes.
Which is pretty impersonal.
No, but we immediately bring it to Krishna, because Krishna's in everything. Right? You know, it's just like, oh, you know, you have so many difficulties, you know, the devotee's this, the devotee's that, but they're all part and parcels of Krishna. So then how can it be bad? We're seeing separate from Krishna.
Okay.
Because we like Krishna, so why wouldn't we like everybody else? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, that all the situations are connected to Krishna, therefore then there's no problem. So the endeavor is there that we're trying to please Krishna. So it's not that we're separately endeavoring to get rid of the material desires. We're aware of it and open for it. We're praying for that only because it's useful, and then we can remember Krishna. Because if we're doing something not useful, then we're not doing something useful. That's all. Does that make sense? It does. So that's the whole idea, is that then by our endeavor trying to please the Lord will reciprocate with His mercy that these things will go. So therefore, that Tesham, what's it? Tesham Avanukam Partam. What's it? Something Tam Jama. Aham Agyana Tam Jama. Means He, like a bee removing pollen from the flowers, will remove all the anarthas. Because he's the one, it's his potencies that makes them happen. But we desire them, therefore they happen. So it's by his grace they'll go away, but we have to be comfortable with that they go away. Otherwise then, you know, who would I be if I don't have these attachments? You know, then it's like, then our identity changed. No, we're servant of Krishna. So if we're servant of Krishna, it doesn't matter what else changes, our identity remains. But if we identify with the material energy, then the problem of taking it away removes our identity. We remove identity, then we become insecure. When we become insecure, we don't make endeavor. We don't make endeavor, then how do we interact? Therefore, Krishna only removes these things as we're not identifying with them. If we identify with them, then they have to stay. Is that Yes.
Does prayer count as endeavor?
Yes, because it's one of the nine processes of devotional service. So prayer is part of it, because otherwise you do have to concentrate and think about it. You can't be thinking about something else, right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like generally, yeah. A Krishna-conscious person can see all his dormant desires at one time finish and all his future transmigrations by the grace of the Lord. This facility is especially given to the devotee to make his path clear for returning home back to Godhead. That's the whole concept. The student should try to see how the previous quotation relates to what Śrīla Śukadeva Goswami teaches in Canto 2, Chapter 1. For reasons given early on, it's most noteworthy that this canto and chapter open with an invocation to Lord Vasudeva. In the above quotation from Canto 4, the term Satvaika Nishte should be understood in the context of a key theme under examination in the verses of this chapter 1 of Canto 2. What is that theme? It is the mind, and so the first line of verse 69, chapter 29, canto 4, reads, Satvaika Nishte Manasi. The word Manasi means in a mind. Srila Prabhupada translates the phrase Satva Eka Nishta as in full Krishna consciousness. Like, so here is Satvaika Nishte, right? So Satvaika Eka Nishta means Eka means. The nishta, the fixed, being fixed, is in exclusively in sattva. So if you had exclusive sattva, it's shuddha sattva. Yes. Therefore, Vasudeva. Yes. This obliges us to conclude that sattva, literally goodness, means in this verse pure goodness, or Vasudeva sattva. Nishta, literally faith, means Paratma Nishta, being a devotee of Lord Krishna, CCC Madhya 3.38 purport. Bhagavatam 2.29.69, with these words, Sadvaika Nishte Manasi, defines the qualifications of one who is able in his mind to associate constantly with the Supreme Lord, and thus, quote, observe the cause of manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. Right, so he's seeing it in connection with the living entities, trying to arrange things for he's trying to make them happy because they're part and parcel of him. He has affection for them. But the problem is that the living entity can't be happy here. Still, he makes that arrangement. Right? And so then as we turn towards him, notice these arrangements in connection with him, then the living entity starts to get benefit. That's the whole thing's for. So the problem's not what they're doing wrong. The point is his view is when they're doing something right. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, if somebody's getting a reaction for what they've done, that's only because it's just balanced. It's just. Right? You've dealt with something in a particular way, then it will get that reaction. Not that you should deal in that way. It's not that God wants it to work in that way. Right? He wants it to work out nice. Right? Otherwise, if he didn't, why would the whole place be so nice? You know, why doesn't it look more like, well, we have a concept of, you know, a moonscape here? You know, why doesn't it look like, you know, southern Kazakhstan or northern Kyrgyzstan? It looks just like the moon. I'm not joking. You know? And so why doesn't it all just look like that? You know, something out of Twilight Zone. Right, because he has affection, therefore he makes it nice. But it's only a little bit. We're so impressed with not so much. Right? Because this much is dead matter. This is what you can do with dead matter. Right? The spiritual energy is conscious. It's so much greater. But then everybody there is conscious. Then you need to be conscious of Krishna also. Otherwise it's not going to work. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you wouldn't appreciate your gross materialist comes in your house, starts interacting with things in your house in their materialistic way. It's annoying.
Yes.
So in the same way, in the spiritual world, everything being conscious, including the furniture, if you're dealing with it not in connection with Krishna, it gets annoying. Right? You know, there's no couch potatoes in the spiritual world. Right? You know, the couches would you know, dump you off on the floor. And then the floor doesn't like you there either. So they keep, so this way you just kept getting dumped until you fell into the material world. Right? Yeah, you take. No, I'm not taking this guy. What about you? Closet, you know? No, nah, forget it. You know, so it's like, you know, doghouse won't take you. You know, so it's like, you know, it's a problem.
Finally, we're here.
Yeah, so then we're here. Does that work? Yeah? Okay. Okay, so that's the point, is the Lord sees it this way. We see like this, then where's the problem of not being positive? But it's not positivism that the material world's great. No, the Lord is great. His interaction with the living entities is great. Right, and all the living entities are doing is interacting with him, but in illusion, they don't know that they're interacting with him. So it's a whole different perspective. That perspective, preaching from that perspective. In other words, you distinguish, in other words, this is the perspective. Then you apply it that, okay, within this perspective, yes, everybody's part and parcel, Krishna's interacting. Now, who amongst these, then in my position that I'm in, I can preach to and they'll respond. Because if the idea is you only have one lifetime, the idea is take as many people with you as you can. Right? Because the point is you know, everybody's going, it's just a matter of time, but it's in the moment. We're dealing in the present. So in the present, what is going on now? Right? You know, the potatoes are in the basket, you can cook potatoes. Yes, there's so many things in Calcutta. But you're not in Calcutta. You know, so this whole thing, no, I got to get together. No. So that's why we preach to those who are responding. If they don't respond, we don't preach to them. Right? Why? Because then, one, it'll take longer for them to come around, and two, it's a waste of time. You could have impressed so many other people in Krishna consciousness. Right? So that's the thing, is this universal perspective of the Lord's perspective applied through the vision of the Madhyama, that is dynamic. Does that make sense? So it changes the whole perspective. It gives that universal affection because you're seeing how the Lord sees. right? Because if you don't see what the Lord sees, then what's the relationship? You know what I'm saying? Two people are there looking at something. They both see the same thing. Then they have something to talk about. You know, two people are sitting there. One's going, oh, yuck. And the other's going, wow. You know, now what do they talk about? Right? Nothing. There's no common ground. You know, so that's the whole thing, is there has to be common ground. When you interact with the Lord, there must be common ground. And the point is the Lord's ground, that's the good one. The one we're on, not so good. Right? You know, we can't even get on with ourselves, right? We argue with ourselves, right? You know, and then we're going to work it out with everybody else. No? You know, so you ever have the mind and intelligence sitting there in perfect agreement? Like that? No, it's not working like that. You know? It's not working like that. Yeah. Okay, now an interesting feature in chapter 1, canto 2 is the revelation how one may come to know the universe as it really is. That's what's being offered. But generally, no one's interested in that. That's why it's not. But this is, do we see here? That's the vision that the second canto offers. How to see the universe from this Uttama platform. Means how the Lord sees it.
Yes.
That's its purpose. Then seeing that, that's just seeing the universe. Mm. Then the point comes up about rasa. Right? Yes. Then we see how people are applying this all the way through. But most important, means because we're seeing that going through until they get very good at that, to the end of nine canto. But more important we're seeing is because of that, then the elements of rasa start coming up. How the devotees interact, all this and that, and the third canto, then fourth canto. So each time it gets more and more deep, more and more interactive, till it gets to the tenth canto. Does that make sense? That's what we're dealing with. That's the specialness. But because we don't know that's the vision to look at, then generally these kind of technical things then become very, you know, not very tasty. Right? So, yes.
This is why we study Darshan Chakshu.
Darshan Chakshu, yes. Vision. Yes, to get the vision. How to see. Through. What is the philosophy, how to see with that? Right? That's the idea. So, first is get adjusted that scriptures, how they present it, is the way it is. Because yes. Bhagavatam is not meant for arguing with. Yes. Gita is meant for arguing with. You know, Arjuna is saying, you know, how is this? This seems contradictory, what you're saying. You're saying, you told me to be spiritual. Now I'm being spiritual. I'm going to the forest. I'm giving up everything. Now why do you say, you know, I should fight? Right? I'm attached to my duties. You say be spiritual. I give up my duties. Now you say do my duties. What's going on here? That's Gita. Gita deals with these things. Bhagavatam doesn't deal with those things. It just shows how pure devotion applies. So the point is, pure devotion is there when we don't have, in other words, as much as we have pure devotion for the material world, we don't develop pure devotion for the spiritual world. Right? You know. So it's a different perspective. That's what's being offered. But the thing is why mechanical? Because the mechanical, we need to be explained because we don't understand it. We're doing something else. Like if I just explain it nicely, I just say, oh yes, do this, and the person does it, do I need more explanation?
No.
But now if they don't, then I have to get into more detail. And then they'll do it. Now let's say they have misgivings about doing it. Or if they have doubts, okay, then a little more. But if they have misgivings, then I really have to get into technical explanation. And then that's the problem, is, you know, when you have jaundice, sugar is bitter.
Yeah.
You know? Like that. So these are Sotomar's comments, no?
Right.
Yeah. So you notice how technical it gets here?
Yeah.
He's perfectly comfortable with that.
Like that.
Yeah, yes.
Can we say that those who like those cantos, that's just their condition?
There may be the element, but how many means it means you have that intellectual aspect. How many people you know get into this that are, you know, so-called intellectual? Yeah, means I know of one. Huh? Okay, but I'd say, you know, that's his spot. means these are, because this is what we had worked on the most, like that. And then he was going to go back and do the same thing with the first canto. And then, Krishna decided, okay, he's done enough. Like that. In philosophy, the exploration of the question, what is existence in reality, is called ontology. The primary syllable of this word, on, is derived from Greek and is etymologically related to the word on as we use it in English. In either language, the meaning of on is basically the same. Thus, ontology is a highbrow word that many English speakers are not familiar with. Simply means the study of whatever it is we are all on.
Yeah. Poetry, almost.
So does that mean that the hippies were not ontologists? They were always on something.
Yeah, they were always on.
Yeah. All it means is just what's existence, that's all. Right? What's reality? That's all. So people talk about it all the time. It's just, as Marj mentions, it's a highbrow word. Just as it's a word you can use, and most people don't know what you're talking about. So right there, then already you're leading in the conversation. Whatever it is that holds us all up, the support of everything, the universe, reality, etc., all these bases that, you know, people try to bring, you know, love or, you know, how you say, equity, fraternity, liberty. It means these are their ontology that they base their whole philosophy on. So for us, it's Krishna. He's the ontology. He's the basis. So the universal form is how the basis of whatever we're dealing with is Krishna. So it's not technically an academic thing. Once it's understood what it is, it becomes very accessible. Does that make sense? But otherwise, then it seems so, you know, intellectual, but it's actually not. The Vedic conclusion that this quote-unquote on searched for by philosophers and scientists is not material. The Vedic goal of ontology is indicated by Srila Prabhupada in this excerpt from his purport to Bhagavatam 4:30-43. The word anapavarga avirya is significant in this verse. The word ana means without. Pavarga means the materialistic way of life, right? Because pavarga is pa-pa-ba-ba-ma, right? You know, parishram, foaming at the mouth, pa-pa-ba. What is it? Bhaya, fear, ma, mrityu, death, pa-pa-ba-ba. I think that's parishram. And then pa is pena, the foam that comes from that hard word. Then bhaya, so then there's another ba. Bandhan means bound up, attached, like that. So these are all the things that give us the problem. So anapavarga means without pravarga. And virya means prowess. The prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead always contains six basic opulences, one of which is renunciation. Right? Because we see that there's that connection. That's just your kalyana gunas are a different perspective of the six opulences of Bhagavan. There's just how things are operated. Right? One is just the opulence itself, but how those opulences are operated to create all the situations to work with it, that's the kalyana gunas. Right? Does that make sense? So virya is one of the kalyana gunas. Right? But at the same time, as it has that basic opulence of having power. Right? Having influence. And then, okay. From virya, the word virat, the cosmic manifestation, is derived, right? Because unless there is potency, then there's not going to be a manifestation, right? Anapavarga means, however, that the materialistic conception of the universe is not supported by the virya of the Lord. Right? His potency doesn't accept. That's why it doesn't get anywhere. That's why it doesn't have. Materialists can say whatever they like, but there's no potency to accomplish what they say. Right? They say if you do this, you'll be happy. People aren't becoming happy. Why? Because it doesn't have the Lord's potency in it. Right? But the person thinks, on my own, because I said it, it will happen. Because I make the endeavor, it will happen. But the point is it's the Lord's potency. His virya makes it happen. Right? Yeah, that's the whole point. Because with virya, then it comes aishvarya. That's the feminine. So we're thinking we make the endeavor and all that, then we'll get the opulence. But the two belong to him. But the masculine and feminine principles are prajumna. Right? So, therefore, that attraction is there, but it's only if it's in connection with the Lord, then you get the results. Then you actually get something. Rather, of the six opulences of the Lord's prowess, one is vairagya, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally demonstrated by accepting sannyas. Srila Prabhupada additionally renders anapavarga virya as meaning that the Lord's prowess cannot be defeated. Hence, the materialistic program to eat, drink, be merry, for life is but a dream. Okay, end quote. Cannot cover the Lord's virya as virat. Even though demons in the modes of Raja Tamaguna strive with all their might to impose that program upon the universe. Keep this in mind when, later in this canto, you read about the syllables tapa and the Supreme Lord's explanation of the creator demigod Brahma, right? Creator demigod. Because he's the creator, but the demigod who does it. Right? Because then, as we mentioned before, virya or virat, that's where the actual potency, that's where the real creation is. Because Brahma is an engineer. Right? Does the engineer have anything, technically? Right? He doesn't have the machinery, he doesn't have the plans, he doesn't have the elements. Where does all that come from? That comes from the virya. It means from the person who is engaging the engineer. Right? They give the engineer the blueprints, they give him the money that he runs his office and does his work, they give the ingredients that is there. Like that. So he doesn't have the potency. Right? The engineers always are very proud, but they're not the ones with the potency. So that's why he's the creator demigod, because Krishna is virya. He's the virya. Yes?
Here materialistic program means the secondary creation.
Here is no, after the creation is that they have this pavarga that we will eat, drink, and be merry. You know, it's all a dream, so go for it. You know, means here is... It means these little comments here are actually the basis of the modern enlightened lifestyle and thought. It means these are the words, you know, of some very intelligent French gentlemen, you know, in little striped shirts and berets, sitting in cafes drinking their espresso and then saying these things, and then the whole world follows them. Like that. And then people think that, yes, this is mine and I'm free and I'm independent. But no. Those guys were more. You know, of course, they're under the modes, but the point is they came up with it. So they understand it. The other guys don't. So this idea is that, no, it's just a dream anyway. So what does it matter? This is what the existential thing is it doesn't really matter anyway, you know, because do whatever you want. You know, if it works out, great. If it doesn't work out, hey, you know. You know, it's like the guy has got there, it's got this, life, you know, what's the point of life? There's no meaning, so he drives his car onto the railroad tracks, you know, the train is coming and everything like that, but somehow or another there's, you know, a switch in the train, there's so many tracks and the train goes by, and then he's sitting there watching the train go by. And then afterwards the train goes by, then, yeah, starts up the car, hey, you know, back down to the cafe, life's great, you know. So that's eat, drink, and be merry, for life is but a dream. You can also row your boat, you know. You know, it's all connected. Right? Does that work? Yeah, okay. So the point is they're taking it that they can do whatever they want. They have the prowess. They have the opulence. But it's all the universal form. The universal form has the prowess, has the opulence. We're only engaged in using that. So that's the difficulty. Is we think it's ours, that's the demoniac mentality, the devotional mentality, it all belongs to the Lord. So whatever we're doing anyway is happening by that. We're doing something, whatever it is, even if we have the skill, the ability, the experience, the accomplishment, but still that's all the Lord's potency. It's His virya, His and His Aishwarya. Does that make sense? Then if we have that attitude, then it works nicely. And if we don't, then of course, then, you know, that's where we have the problems. Okay. So then later then it's explained, quote, "You may know from me that it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty." Right? "Such penance is my heart and soul." Because tapa austerity means the performance of your duty, because otherwise, how does relationship work? Right? Mm-hmm. It means it's just like you have, let's say one has a nice interaction with somebody. So next time you meet him, what do you expect?
Nice
interaction of the same kind of quality. Do you mind if there's some variety in it?
No.
But it should be the same quality.
Yes.
So now if you don't do your duty, what's going to happen? The interaction changes. So therefore, rasa isn't stable. So if you don't perform your duties, rasa is not stable. This idea is, why do I have to be controlled by this? Then what happens to those people? They don't have any relationships with anybody that has any standing. Go ahead, think about it, connect the dots. You know what I'm saying? That's all you have to do. The people who profess this, think about it. Who are their friends? Are they real friends, other than sitting around and saying, yeah, you know, like this. But do they actually support each other? Are they there for each other? No, because you can't be. You just can't. It's against the principle. Unless you're doing your duty, it can't work. You know, that's the whole point. It just can't work. So that's why it's like here we get used to it here, because we're going to have duties there.
Yes.
You know, when the acharyas talk about the pastimes there, they're talking about people's duties. They're spontaneously done because of the attitude, but they're still duties.
Is there also some taste from playing a little with doing or not doing the duties? I mean, it seems that
naturally, because there's the idea of independence.
Mm-hmm.
I could not do the duties, so there's a taste of that.
Krishna and Radharani are kind of...
No, they're always doing the duties. Mm-hmm. That's within the masculine and feminine dynamic.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of just what is who's taking that leading role? Mm-hmm. What are the flavors that are happening in that? What is the response to that leading role?
Mm-hmm.
Like these, that's just tasting rasa, like that. That's not a matter of not doing duties. It's because it, unless one's working within the framework, it doesn't function.
Yes.
Like that. But the thing is what you're dealing with is very volatile. So therefore, it creates the most intense of reactions. You know what I'm saying? Parental rasa is less volatile. Friendship, less than that. You can, frankly, if you have good friends, you can, but there's nothing that you can really do wrong. Right? You know, servitorship, then you don't even look at that. It's a matter of, you know, who's in charge and who does what. You don't get into the personal stuff so much. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's... "Such penance is my heart and soul, and therefore penance and I are non-different. I create this cosmos by such penance. I maintain it by the same energy, and I withdraw it all by the same energy." Right? So it's here. "Therefore, the potential power, viryam, as per the original Sanskrit verse, is penance only." So here's virya, but that means it's coming from penance. Right? So that's the thing. Now, someone's a brahmachari for a long time, that's penance. And then what is the position of the brahmachari in that position? There's virya, there's power.
Yes.
Right? So it's not, then less. Does that make sense? They go together. You know, the person has been austere, went through the things, did all the things. Then he's got potency. But who's the CEO? Where did he start? He started on the bottom. There's penance. Therefore, it came through. He's virya. Right? The guy in the middle management, less penance, less virya. If he really applied himself to the studies, really trying to apply it, then there's a little bit more, because there's some penance. Right? Then there's more potency. Is this?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why the nice thing about the Sanskrit is you see all the different aspects. So penance and virya are considered the same. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from. Yes.
All right. So what was the austerity of Brahma actually to realize the Lord, or what was the tapa for him as a person?
To meditate, to sit and absorb himself in trying to understand the Lord. That was his, because that's his duty. But you have to focus on the, because he was just doing whatever he felt like. You know, what's out here, looking around, you know, climbing down things, climbing up, you know, he's just, you know, no, do what you're supposed to do. Like that. So therefore, that meditation, that's what you're doing, because all austerity means you're meditating on what it is to be done in connection with the Supreme. So that's actually prescribed duties. So that's penance, that gives virya. So one who performs this prescribed duties, he's potent. One who doesn't have potency. Yes.
In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice.
Yes, because sacrifice means you're doing it for someone else, voluntarily doing it for someone else's pleasure. Right? But the problem in the material world, you could say, well, so many people are doing things for others' pleasure, but ultimately it's for themselves. Oh, I forgot to bring that thing down. Mm. That Bhakti Siddhanta says at the time.
Maybe you may not.
Yeah. Like that, yes.
So we also see in this world, like we were telling or discussing before, that you can't be the controller and the enjoyer.
No, means you're in one or the other. Means you can't be the subject and the object. Yeah, you know, unless of course you're doing something with a mirror or something, you know, like that. Yeah.
But that is the reflection.
Hey, look at this guy. Ooh. Yeah. You could look at there, check it out. You know what I mean? Okay, maybe you can try stuff like that, but it doesn't quite work. It's the,
yeah.
You know, the guy in the mirror only does kind of what you do, you yeah. know. So that's, you know, so you can't get like two faces at once, you know.
People try.
Yeah, people try, of course. That's why mirrors are there above the sink, right? Otherwise, yes.
What is Krishna's tapa? He's an emotional object or energy comes from here. What is his tapa?
He's always doing his duties. He's always, you know, in this case, he's always, because he gave creation maintenance instruction, he's doing those things. Like that. Not someone else isn't doing it. It's not, he doesn't, what do you call
he
it?
Doesn't restrain his senses.
Where you put it out.
Delegate.
No, but there's the other thing where you...
Outsource.
Yeah, he doesn't outsource to other companies.
But he doesn't restrain his senses.
No, restrain means you engage in a specific way. It's just like eating prasad, that's restraining the senses. Yes, sir. Okay, so into.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shrila Prabhupada ki Jai, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki Jai, Jai Nitai Gaur.